Is this thing on? Hello, hello. What is up, you guys? You are listening to Grow with Ro. I am your host, Ramana. And on this show, we have discussions that help you feel better, think better, do better, and get you from where you are to where you want to be. So let's get into it. Hello, welcome back. Happy Wednesday. How are we doing? Okay, we are here with yet another Q&A episode. I had put an anonymity box. My God, that was a mouthful. An anonymity box on my Instagram because I find that sometimes people prefer to ask questions that way. They could be more candid. They could be more open about their personal experiences when they don't think that you'll know who it is and will therefore not be able to judge them, etc. Right? So I got a couple questions written in. I picked a few. I don't know how many we'll get through because we all know that I can say, okay, here we go. And then one question will be a 30-minute conversation and then time is up. So let's just get into it and see how many we make it through and then we'll save the rest for another episode. Okay, so the first one was, what is a relationship lesson that you wish you had learned sooner? So I've been reflecting on this quite a bit because not only am I obviously in my own relationship and having that experience, but I have friends who are in relationships who give me the insights of conversations or conflict or whatever goes on. So I get to see a little bit more of what's actually being experienced out there as well, you know, instead of feeling like I'm alone in some of the experiences I have, which is really nice. But what the consensus seems to be is that no relationship will ever look like the fantasy that you have in your head of how it should look. It will never look like the movies. It will never look like McNicholas Sparks. It will never look like 50 Shades of Grey. It will never look like the country song. Okay, and that fantasy that we create in our head about how a conversation should go or how a guy should behave in a certain situation, right? It's always super contextual. Like it's always in a lot of conflict happens because we have expectations for these scenes in our life, right? We'll have a conversation. And if the guy doesn't respond like the fantasy that you have in your head of how he should respond, now you have a tone. Now you have an attitude. Now you're propelling the conflict forward, not because of necessarily even what's being said, not because he even really said anything or did anything bad, but because it didn't match the expectation you had in your mind of how that scene should go. And the thing is, we are in relationships because obviously we're getting certain needs met. And we're looking to fulfill someone else's needs. Okay, so obviously there are many things that this other person is doing right. And a lot of times we will still pick a fight or have a tone or have an attitude or be unsatisfied or ungrateful because we are in it. We're not on the outside looking in. Right. And so because we're not on the outside watching it play out as if it were a movie or as if it were the fantasy that we created, the movie we created in our head from listening to a song or whatever it is, there isn't that huge emotional weight attached to it that then signals to us, oh my gosh, that's cute. Or oh my gosh, I wish I had that. Or wow, that looks so romantic. Right? You don't have that same cue because you're actually in it and experiencing it versus watching it. Okay? I can't be the only one who feels this way. But this is the truth behind why in long-term relationships we often stop being grateful. We take one another for granted. We're less appreciative. And I do believe it's because we don't necessarily have that same degree of emotional cueing to appreciate or to feel grateful. And so we have to actively pause, sit down, maybe journal, right? Or reflect or meditate on it or whatever you do. But you have to take the time to create the image of what happened in your life with this person that then makes you grateful, makes you appreciative. See it through the lens of as if you were watching this happen on a screen versus living in it. And that is when you'll get that overwhelming feeling of this is romantic or this is sweet or this is whatever it might be that creates a really loving feeling within you that then leads to gratitude and appreciation. But that feeling is not there all of the time because we're just in it instead of watching it, right? And you don't have that visual cueing. Is this making sense? So let me give an example. Every time Ryan goes to the grocery store, he gets himself a kombucha and he gets me a kombucha. Not because I ask for it, but because he knows I like one as well and he thinks of me and he brings me one home, right? In the real world, this is something that because it happens routinely, it becomes, we're less sensitized to it. And so we're like, oh, thank you so much. Like, yes, the routine of you get me a kombucha when you get yourself one. Very good, right? But now imagine if you were watching a movie where the guy, every time he went to the store and got himself something, he would always pick something up for his girlfriend or his wife, right? And maybe this then continued on for 10, 20, 30, 50 years. And now he's old and he's a grandpa and maybe his wife died, but every time he goes to the grocery store, he still picks her up a kombucha. And oh my gosh, who? You see, and now I am like overwhelmed with emotion just at the thought of that. Maybe this is a female phenomenon, whatever, but literally feel that within you. You're watching this screen and this old guy like goes and gets his wife a kombucha, maybe goes to her grave site and brings her a kombucha. And now it is like, wow, that is romance. That is love. You know, that's what I'm talking about here. How quickly we can take someone for granted or not realize the things that other people may do for us that if we saw it in someone else's relationship or if we saw that on the big screen or something like that, we would have a completely different reaction to it and we wouldn't take it for granted. So that's a tangent. Hello. But that led to what the point that I'm trying to make, which is that in relationships, it will never look like what you want it to look like. And so a lot of people at the early stages, and when I say early stages, this could be the first 3 years of your relationship, okay? Technically, in the great, if you're together for 60 years, 3 years is the early stages, okay? It can look much different than you're expecting it to look, okay? Because the stereotype is that relationships in the early stages are all rainbows, butterflies, sunshine, courtship, honeymoon, nonstop sex, nonstop best foot forward, best face on, happy, smiley, playful. Okay, that is the stereotype of relationships in the early stages. Everyone I know right now, maybe it's because the sorts of friends that I pick are people who are very complex and who grew up in fairly tumultuous upbringings, so they themselves have a lot of things to work on, okay, pertaining to communication, pertaining to even just relationship behavior, understanding how to even navigate a relationship. Okay, maybe that's it. But everyone that I know who's in a relationship is having a hard time in the early stages of the relationship. And that in itself can cause a lot of anxiety for people because we all believe that the early stages of a relationship should be the best times. Okay, which we know was not even my experience. Ryan and I had a fairly difficult time the first 3 years. Actually, within this last year was when we finally kind of buckled down and took the work seriously, the work of what it means to actually be in a relationship, which is learning the tools of relationship, learning the tools of understanding another person and learning to speak their language. Okay, so the answer to the question of what is a lesson I wish I learned sooner is that relationships don't look like what you think. And a good example is this quality of being harder at the beginning than in the middle. And that all depends on a person's ability, okay, one person's ability to not only be able to put their thoughts and feelings into words, and then the person on the receiving end learning to speak that person's language, learning to read their body, learning to read their cues, learning what that person means when they use certain words, Ryan and I had this conversation last night. He was like, I just needed space to speak. Or he just kept repeating, like, there wasn't space, there wasn't space. And I had to ask, Ryan, I need you to use other language. I need you to clarify for me what you mean by that, because I don't think that we mean the same thing when we use that language, because I'm under the impression that I did give you space, but you still did not feel space. So can you try to explain it to me in a different way? That is not even language that I knew 2 years ago. And this is why we do this personal development work, is so that we have more words to work with, to then be able to put our thoughts and our feelings into a concise, comprehensive statement and feed it to the other person in hopes that it will give them more of a key to us, more of a blueprint or a map, okay? More of a solution to the complexity that we are. Also take into account that a lot of people grew up not being asked what their feelings are, what their thoughts are on anything, what their opinions are on anything. They had their voices silenced. They were told that their emotions didn't matter. Maybe the family was so chaotic that the kids had to just sort of silence themselves and avoid and disassociate and quiet down, right? So these people then did not grow up with the ability to actually put their thoughts, words, opinions into words that is a concise enough statement to actually say the truth of what they're feeling, like the full truth, right? It's like this jumbled formation of words that you kind of have to translate and decode, okay? But the more you get to know this person, you learn the code. And sometimes that takes a lot of work. And that person who doesn't even really know the work of being able to put their thoughts into words, they don't even know how to label what they're feeling half the time, right? It's just an overwhelming amount of emotion. And then they need to learn the vocabulary to be able to label these emotions correctly. A lot of times they might end up mislabeled, right? And so it takes them time to be even able to truly articulate what it is they're wanting to say to the other person. And that takes time, and that takes effort, that takes exposure to material and other people sharing their stories, and the person on the receiving end even asking more clarifying questions, right? That maybe wouldn't even be necessary in a dynamic with someone who already is very good at articulating their thoughts, right? And so now that person on the receiving end has to work to be patient and to not get frustrated with the fact that maybe they want to just say, what do you want? Okay, but instead they have to ask five separate clarifying questions to help get responses out of people because they're not speaking the same language yet, right? I have this experience when I have podcast guests on. So with the podcasting, obviously I have friends on, people on who are not professional podcasters. They're not professionals at sitting here in front of the world, sharing their thoughts, their innermost like raw material, right? And a lot of people aren't comfortable with that. Now, if I'm asking some random person to come on the show and share the rawness of their thoughts and feelings and journey, my job is to make them look good and make them feel comfortable. I've had to learn. I can't just come on here and ask questions and expect them to just answer it and roll with it, and it leads to this free-flowing, easy conversation. Because that's not how it is. A lot of the times, it may feel like pulling teeth with people, but only because it is new for them, right? You guys remember, if you've been listening since day one, it's taken me quite a few episodes to be able to, like, I remember mentioning, like, hey, I'm having a really hard time being clear and concise with the things I'm looking to say in a timely manner as soon as I press record. That is a muscle memory. That's a muscle you have to train in podcasting, okay? And so if I have a guest on, it's not about, I can't expect them to be masters of that the second I press record. I have to go into those episodes expecting that they're just going to answer my questions, and that if I want more details and more information, it is actually my job to be able to rephrase and ask new questions that will then lead them to a new train of thought to actually give me that detail or give me that anecdote or give me that relatable story, whatever it is, right? It's not just something I can expect that they know as like, hey, that's just how we have a conversation, right? Because everybody does that differently. So the point is that if you are still maybe 2-3 years into a relationship that you know is with a great person, a quality person, a person with a good heart and a good soul who just has some things that are different from you and you both just have some obstacles in the way, some walls up, right? Maybe that are a result of you just not truly knowing how to be vulnerable fully with another person, right? Maybe there is trust issues that are so deeply rooted that even after 3 years, they have only shown you 5% of who they are, but you know that that is still progress, okay? If you can truly step back and look at the last 2-3 years and see in the macro that there has been progress made, then you have to decide if that's enough or not, because it very well might be. Like I said, a lot of times people think, oh, if that's not, you know, if you're not harmonious within after 6 months, well then, you know, good riddance, move on, toxic, blah, blah, blah. Now, obviously, if there hasn't been any progress made, if you truly can step back and be like, I really don't think enough progress has been made, then you should be willing to reconsider that situation. But if progress has been made, it's okay that the timeline is longer than society may say it should be. Because like I said, both of you are completely different people coming into that dynamic with a whole different language and different tools for how and to what degree you know to navigate a relationship. And it might just take longer than we all expect. And I know even for me and Ryan, like I said, we're on year 5, right? It's now that I'm seeing the fruits of the labor of like us knowing how to talk better to each other, us knowing how to decode the other person's language, us knowing the sorts of questions to ask that will help the other person be able to actually express what they're looking to say versus just shutting down when the response doesn't look like the way we expect it to look, right? Which can lead to losing your patience very easily. Like, oh, it's like pulling teeth. Okay. Or just ask more questions and you'll eventually get a response. And it's now, like I said, that I see situations come up that maybe actually in the past would have resulted in conflict because I would have misread something or I would have drawn a conclusion or made an assumption about his inflection about something or his tone or his the words he chose to use or the energy, like if his attention is all over the place, right? I would maybe take these things personal because I didn't understand them. I didn't understand him. He's a very, very complex person. And the same goes with me. There had been so much conflict just because Ryan assumed something about my tone when I had a tone that had actually nothing to do with him but about something else. Now it's been enough of a pattern where he got to learn this about me, where he now can see a tone or whatever, hear a tone, see a behavior like a body language or a behavioral pattern and ask a question instead. Because he's now seen over time that just because I do A, it does not equal B. It may equal EGZ, right? And unless you ask and unless enough time passes where you can get to know this person's patterns, of course you're going to have discord. Of course you're going to have confusion because you're, like I said, just not speaking the same language. And then once you learn enough of the person's tendencies and enough about the person to actually be able to dissect their behavior, analyze their behavior, ask more of the right questions, that is when you two start dancing the same dance and that harmony comes into play. Okay, because I talked for 20 minutes, we have time for one more question. And so I chose this one because I think it's like very personal and I want to make sure I actually answer this so that this person can move their life forward with maybe some of the insights I offer here. So the question was, I have become friends with a woman in my exercise groups. We flirt a lot. We message a lot. We have even done social activities as a group. What's the best way to see if I can get out of the friend zone? So I gave this one a lot of thought. I gave this one so much thought that I even went and had the conversation with Ryan because I was like, oh, maybe he can provide a male perspective and have something to say about this that is different from anything that I thought of, okay? And I'm also not of the school of thought of like, just go put it out there and let her know, blah, 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 because you gotta, that's a fantasy. That is a fantasy approach. That is not a real life approach, okay? Real life approach, we have a lot of things to take into account. For example, in this question, we have the friendship to take into account. We have the social groups to take into account. We have the exercise time to take into account. There's like a lot at risk with this, right? We have the person's ego to take into account. We have the person's just emotions and sense of self-worth to take into account. So it is not as simple as just go and be honest and put it out there. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little bit of a better answer than all of that. And there are actually 3 points to this, 2 that I came up with and 1 that was Ryan's feedback to this. So the first point that I want to make sure that what you see as flirting is actually her flirting. Now, I say this because I am somebody who can often get misrepresented as flirtatious just for being myself, right? This is something that has come up in conversation with Ryan over the years many times, that people can think I'm being flirty when I'm actually not being flirty at all. And I'm just a very friendly, like social butterfly, playful kind of person, right? I'm just very coquettish in my nature. Okay. So with the knowledge of this about myself and with Ryan bringing this up to me as a point of like, hey, be aware of this because it might get you in trouble in the future if you're, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time. I have made it a point, this is super important, to be consistent with this trait of mine, meaning that I make sure that I'm the same way with everyone, that I am fun and playful, coquettish. You have to say it like that. Like, who's going to be like coquettish, like in the American accent? It's not cute. So coquettish. I make sure that I'm this same way around everyone. So men and women. Okay. So now if I have guy friends, or let's say I'm at the gym teaching classes and stuff, and I go up to some guys to help them with their form and whatnot, and I may be playful and I'm very personable and I can behave in a way that could get misunderstood, mislabeled as flirting. Okay. So I make sure then that those guys also see me going and being that way to other guys, to other women, anyone at the gym, so that they then can understand, no, that's just how she is. Okay. Because if I wasn't that way with everyone, then it very much can get read as me being flirty. So when I say just make sure that she's actually flirting with you, watch how she behaves towards other people. Watch how she talks to other people and see if there is a common thread. Because if so, then what you might be seeing as flirting is not actually flirting. Maybe she's just fun and playful and personable. And that is really important because obviously you're getting your cueing from this behavior. So you just want to make sure that you're actually reading it correctly. The second point, I would say inquire about her dating life from a friend perspective, right? If you guys are hanging out in social groups, yada, yada, you can talk about your dating experiences at the moment and ask other people in the group. It doesn't even have to be a one-on-one conversation like, hey, so you seeing anyone? No, just be like, so like, who's doing the online dating thing? Like, what's been your experience? Oh my gosh, here's how it is in St. Pete. Here, I went on this date the other day, blah, 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 like that. Just so you can open up that conversation and get some insight into even where she stands with dating. Because for all you know, she has someone that she's talking to already. And so then that mixed with what you're mislabeling as her flirting may be leading to a fantasy that you're creating in your head just because you're filling in the missing pieces of the information that you don't have, right? So I would bring that up casually just to gain some more insight into what's actually going on in her life, which will then give you information of how to move forward with the least amount of opportunity for rejection. I had a friend who was going through a single phase and was really just working on his confidence in speaking to women, like going up and approaching them, asking them out, these sorts of things. And sometimes he would come back to me and be like really down and say he just got rejected. And I would tell him, like, you did not get rejected. She told you she already has a boyfriend, right? You can't see the fact that there's a goalie already in place as a rejection, because the goal, I'm trying to figure out this analogy, the goal was never open to begin with, right? So you could, it was not an opportunity to even shoot your shot because there was already a goalie there, right? Versus if you first gauge if there's already a goalie in place, now you can make a tactical decision of whether or not to actually shoot that shot. Do you actually have a chance of scoring the goal? My God, I love sports. Can you tell? So that's my point, is if you find out that there already is a goalie guarding that goal, then save yourself the heartache of asking a question when there isn't an opportunity for that question to even like land properly. You know what I mean? So that is what you will gain from at least figuring out, inquiring more information that will then lead to you finding out whether or not there even is an opening. Okay, and now Ryan's feedback, which I actually was like, hold up, I have to write this down because he's like so freaking wise. It's amazing. But he said, and I wrote, it's about having enough value to offer as a man. It's not focusing on what you have to offer, but rather having the confidence of knowing that you are a high value man who has things to offer. Okay, so whether that be because you're rich, or whether that be because you're fit, or whether that be because you're really funny or quirky or emotionally intelligent, whatever it may be, all of these things can bring attraction, okay? Is it gonna be to everyone? No, there's one girl who's really into the fit guy. There's one girl who's really into the rich guy. There's one girl who's really into the emotionally intelligent and emotionally available guy, okay? And you cannot place all your value on just the yes or the no, because you have no clue what this person, what their like points of attraction even are, right? So sometimes you can be the square peg and she's the round hole, and no matter how hard you shove it in there, it's never going to work because it's not the correct shape for what she's looking to have put in her round hole. Oh my God, that's enough for today. So you just have to figure out what kind of woman you are dealing with at the same time, right? Hence why a lot of these questions are important to go and just inquire and find out, so you can put yourself in the best position to even know if this person is worthy of the value that you have to offer, or if your specific value is better served elsewhere, right? Some women just want to feel high value through money, right? No matter what other things you have to provide, they're not ever going to be able to see them, because what they're actually looking for is the material things. They really just want this like glamorous bougie life. They like to wine and dine and have designer things and travel, right? And that's what they're into, which is amazing, perfectly fine. But if that's not what the value you know that you're looking to bring is, then no matter what you do, it will not be a good fit. So I think the thing to do with this is maybe sit down, journal with a piece of paper, or just go on a walk and think about it. What is the value that you know you bring? Is it humor? Is it emotional intelligence? Is it work ethic? Is it discipline? Is it money? What is it? What do you know? Because just saying, I have value, I am enough, I am worthy of love, I'm sorry, to me, maybe for some people that works. To me, that doesn't work, because that's not tangible and specific enough to where you can navigate the world already knowing down to the T of what the value is that you provide. What is it that you are actually looking to offer another person? You first have to figure that out within yourself, because then it also just flips the narrative. Instead of you hoping to be attractive to this person who you don't even know what their points of attraction are, instead, you know what you have to offer and you're looking for that puzzle piece, that empty slot, right? You're looking for that perfect match to the thing that you know you provide. So then you look maybe for someone who provides the same back to you, or someone who provides the opposite of what you provide, so that then you guys work in that synergistic kind of dynamic. And that really just comes down to preference of what your specific needs are and what value you're looking for the opposite person to provide to you, right? So kind of the mindset shift that I encourage here is, instead of seeing this person as putting this person on a pedestal and thinking, oh, I hope that they pick me, weigh out what it is that you're even looking for, right? A lot of times we will find that we're attracted to someone because of a fantasy that we create in our heads about them, or we're just excited that someone is showing us some attention in the first place. So pause for a second, weigh out what value you have to provide, think about what it is that you're even looking for in a potential future partner, and ask the right questions to figure out if this person even is it, right? And after all of that, if it's determined that she is single, that she actually is flirting, that she actually is showing interest and possesses qualities of someone that you would like to consider for a role in your life, then just go ahead and ask her on a date. I think that's a little bit better than being like, hey, I have feelings for you, right? Just say like, hey, I'd like to take you out for dinner sometime. Are you free on Tuesday or Friday, right? And go from there. It's about having that confidence of knowing that you are also interviewing them for a slot in your life, and it's not just about whether or not they pick you. So I hope that was helpful, and I love these questions. Please keep them going. I always prefer this kind of Q&A style of podcast, because then I have something to go off of instead of just sitting here being like, okay, I'm going to talk on this topic. Here we go. Ready, set, action, which is not as thrilling for me as actually having the context of who maybe I'm speaking to and the tangents that come from that. So keep writing them in. You can message me on Instagram any questions you have. You can also comment them below wherever this episode lets you rate it and review it. And that is it. Thank you so much, you guys, and I will see you next week.